Well, welcome and good morning. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. It is a joy to share in worship and service with you this morning. I'm Keith Ritchie, grateful to be appointed by the bishop to lead shepherds in Mizpah in ministry. Thank you for your welcome and look forward to getting to know you and to work with you as we serve God together. Grateful to hear your support in this time of preparation and transition. Grateful for my family to be here, my wife Paula, my younger daughter Liz, her fiance Jan. So again, just thank you for the welcome, for the gifts that we have together, and I look forward to serving and worshiping God with you. And grateful to see the ministries that we are involved with here at Shepherd's, as far as the school supply drive, the King and Queen Food Pantry, this being Open Heart Sunday. Thank you for your support of these ministries. And in preparation for worship, we will have the lighting of the candles. Grateful to have the table set before us as well, and look forward to sharing some words, reflecting upon God's table and God's invitation to gather a table with one another. I'm grateful for that way in which we begin our worship and service together. I'll invite us to stand. Our call to worship we will find before us. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house.
And the king will desire your beauty, since he is your lord. Bow to him.
Daughter Tyre will seek your favor with gifts the richest of the people.
With all kinds of wealth, the princess is decked in her chamber with gold.
In many-colored robes, she is led to the king. Behind her, the virgins, her companions, follow.
With joy and gladness, they are led along as they enter the palace of the king.
In the place of ancestor, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes over all the earth.
I will cause your name to be celebrated among all generations. Therefore,
and our opening hymn, verses 1, 3, and 5 of Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast.
Thank you.
As we gather and prepare for the table, we go to God and confess our sin. Having done so, we receive the assurance of God's forgiveness. I will lead us now in a prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear this good news, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And I'm going to invite us now to welcome one another as we pass the peace of Christ. And as we do so as forgiven and reconciled people, simply to welcome one another and to greet one another in the name of Christ our Lord. Good to be with you. Thank you. Prayer here before we go into the singing of Come Share the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we are those who are grateful when we are called into the house of our Lord. You are a God of new beginnings, a God always doing a new thing. For this we give you thanks, and we pray that we would be receptive to the ways in which you call us, the ways in which you lead us, the ways in which you direct us. We thank you for the gifts with which you've entrusted us, by which to worship and serve you. And we pray, O Lord, that we would be a light to this community and beyond for your sake. We thank you for the table you have set. We thank you for the invitation you extend. We thank you that you know our name. And we thank you that you call us together to be the body of Christ, and to entrust us with those gifts, all of them necessary, by which to carry out your work. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, even unspoken, and that you are the God who calls us to pray without ceasing, to ask and seek and to knock, to be relentless in approaching you in prayer, trusting that you hear us and that now and always you are with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn, Come Share the Lord, and I understand that...
Well, it's going to work out.
Well, Scripture calls us to sing a new song, and I do love this hymn, so thank you for honoring this. I think it's a wonderful hymn in preparation for our Lord's Supper. Come share the Lord. I invite us to stand as we sing.
Gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the
Thank you, choir. The gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. First, let us pray. Lord, bless the proclamation and the hearing of your word. May it challenge us. May it speak to us. May it claim us. And may we be faithful in its hearing and doing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who sat at table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for all is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. I pray you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. I pray you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported this to his master. Then the householder in anger said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and maimed and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And you may be seated. It is good to be with you in worship this morning. I am grateful for your gracious welcome. I am excited to share in the worship and service of God that we are called to offer. I'm grateful as well for the faithful leadership Steve Hundley provided this church for the past 6 years. Though Steve and I never served close to one another during our respective ministries, I've known Steve since I was a teenager. Having met Steve during youth events at our former assembly center in Blackstone, and with you, I keep Steve and family in prayer. Again, it is good to be with you, and I'm especially grateful to begin our ministry together at this table. Earlier this year, Paula and I celebrated Valentine's Day at nearby Wind Vineyards. It's her favorite holiday, just to let you know. And Wind was honoring this occasion by providing live music and a special Valentine's Day meal. Paula was excited to learn about this online, and I called the vineyard and made sure to reserve a place for us for Valentine's evening. Arriving at the vineyard, we entered, we were greeted, we were directed to a table, and on the table sat a note card, and on this note card was written a name: Richie. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but since long ago I've discovered there's no such thing as a small act of hospitality. Someone knew our name. Someone remembered us. Someone prepared for us. Someone set a place for us at the table. I'm grateful to gather with you this morning at the table. And I believe Jesus may be pleased that we gather at table as well. I say this because throughout Jesus' ministry, he is never far from the table. This is especially true in the Gospel of Luke, where scholars note that in Luke's Gospel, Jesus frequently goes to the table. He's found there at the table, and he's always recalling time spent at the table. It's in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus tells of a father who throws the greatest of feasts for a lost son who's been found. In Luke, Jesus invites a corrupt tax collector, Zacchaeus, to table. In Luke, Jesus is finally recognized by two of his disciples as he breaks bread at table with them on Easter evening. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks this parable, a parable at the heart of which is the table. A table at which are gathered not exactly the who's who of society. Far from it, because if you and I find ourselves at this table and we turn our heads and we see beside us and across from us the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame, the outcast, the unacceptable, the excluded, the hidden, the unwanted, all gathered with us at table, all gathered with us, guest of the most gracious of hosts, all gathered with us, for we come to find that at this table is revealed the nature of our God. You see, the scripture begins and ends with a man who decides to host a great banquet and invites many to this banquet. In other words, we begin with one whose desire is to be the most gracious of hosts, to throw this lavish meal, to welcome all to his table. There's no hidden agenda, no bait and switch, no ulterior motives, no desire other than sharing all that is his with those whom he calls to the table. That's our setting this morning. A notable setting, a setting witnessing to the nature of our host. God welcomes, God invites, God provides, God is gracious beyond measure. But we don't stop here. If we also notice this regarding our host, God is relentless. God is persistent, will not be defeated. Now, it's true, according to Jesus, there are those who refuse the hospitality of this host. And for many hosts, we understand, that may be too much to bear. Such refusal may result in the cancellation of the meal. Candles are blown out. Flowers are removed from the tables. Foods put in containers and placed in refrigerators. Tables, chairs are folded, put in storage. Musicians hired for the occasion are thanked, paid, sent home. All left in silence. And for many hosts, that may be the response to refused invitation. Not our host. Told of the refusal of those he has invited to his banquet, he gives no thought to cancellation. His expression of hospitality, grace, not defeated. The host will celebrate his banquet, calls his servants, tells them to do the most remarkable thing, share my invitation again, only this time invite the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And the servants say, well, we've done all of that, and there's still room for more. And look again at our host. He doesn't say, okay, fine, that's enough, let's get this party started. Know this persistent, relentless, extravagant host sends his servants out again. Go to the highways. Go to the hedges. Go to 17. Go to 360. Compel everyone to come in. I want this house filled to the rafters, even though the well-connected and the high society and the donor types refuse my invitation, I will not be denied. I will invite whomever I wish. I will host my banquet. Now, can God get any closer to us than this table? Here, all are welcome. Here, none is turned away. Here, a place set for everyone. Here, a note card with our name on it. God knows our name, makes room for us, and even though not everyone may behave well at the table, all are still welcome. The writings in the witness of a late young lady named Rachel Held Evans remain of great blessing to me and to many other persons of faith. Evans, raised in the Bible Belt of Tennessee by a loving, gracious family, was still surrounded by those restrictive, exclusionary voices wanting to serve as self-appointed gatekeepers of the grace of God. Evans arose from these influences to be a voice challenging well-worn and destructive expressions of faith. Evans witnessed to a God more loving than those bothersome voices pretending to speak for God, and in offering such a witness, Evans places at the heart of her witness this table. This is what God's kingdom looks like, she says. This is what God's kingdom looked like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry. Because they said yes. And there is always room for more. Is that not why you and I are here this morning? We're hungry. More than we know, we're hungry. And it's true we possess some knowledge of the hunger we carry, and we try to satisfy such hunger by any number of means. Turn to the cell phone, to social media, turn to the substance, the food, beverage, other. Turn to Fox News, to CNN, political campaign or candidate. And we know well this and other we do because we're hungry. But having done this, we remain hungry, consuming empty calories. Well, we do well then to visit again one from our communion of saints, this cloud of witnesses now surrounding us, again, Rachel Held Evans. Speaking of the sacraments, such as this great Thanksgiving, Evans says to us, "When I was ready to give up on the church, it was the sacraments that pulled me back. When my faith had become little more than an abstraction, a set of propositions to be affirmed or denied, the tangible, tactile nature of the sacraments invited me to touch, smell, and taste and hear and see God in the stuff of everyday life again. They got God out of my head and into my hands. They reminded me that Christianity isn't meant simply to be believed, it's meant to be lived and shared and eaten and spoken and enacted in the presence of other people. They reminded me that try as I may, I can't be a Christian on my own. Again, isn't that why you and I are here this morning? Well, you may be aware that last July, I entered into a relationship with the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church as a retired pastor. So what am I doing here? Well, after 39 years of full-time service, after being appointed by respective bishops of the conference to churches in 7 different locations. You remember those locations, Paula? 7 different locations. I was now a retired United Methodist elder. This meant that for the first time in almost 40 years, I didn't have to awaken Sunday morning and go to church. I had the choice, finally, after many years, to stay in bed, sleep late. Now, it is true, there were those Sunday mornings during those 40 years when I would awaken and say to myself, I wish I didn't have to go to church today. But I had no choice but to get up to go to church that day. But the time had come when I would awaken on Sunday morning and I had a choice. Stay in bed, head on the pillow, blankets snug upon me. Get up, stay in pajamas, not worry about Sunday clothing, not look at the clock and worry about how much time I have to get ready to go to church. Now, finally, after all these years, I could relax with a cup of coffee. Sit on the porch. We have a spacious porch. Come check it out. I can enjoy watching the sunrise over the Rappahannock. Or go inside, watch Meet the Press, Face the Nation. And true, there was a Sunday or two last July when I did not stir from bed, put on Sunday clothing, hurry to church. Moving from one place to another, we know, is exhausting physically and emotionally. There's time to recover. But there came that time, a time I could not name or locate, when I knew each Sunday morning, if possible, I needed to find my place within the community of faith, within the body of Christ. So I believe every Sunday since last August, even the Sundays after Christmas and Easter, how about that? I was in church, found my place in the pew, worshiped. This, despite the fact that we clergy can be a critical bunch, critical of the one standing on the other side of the pulpit, oh, I could do so much better than that. Still, each Sunday morning, I went to church, found my place. For where else would I find what I find when I come to worship? Some of you may be familiar with country singers Dwight Yoakam and the late Buck Owens, and if you're not, you should be. Well, several years ago, these artists released a song written by Buck titled The Streets of Bakersfield. Do you remember the first line of that song? I came here looking for something I couldn't find anywhere else. Well, these are not the streets of Bakersfield. But we do come here this morning looking for something we can't find anywhere else. We find a table before us, a place set for us, a host who knows our name. It has been waiting on us. We find forgiveness healing, reconciliation with the one who has made us. We find a God in this bread, in this cup, as close to us as God can be. We find a God welcoming us to this most gracious and extravagant of banquets. We find ourselves compelled to come in, for God's house must be filled. Amen. We respond to the word, and I invite us to do so as we stand and find number 880 in our hymnals, the Apostles' Creed, number 880. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven. Seated, and at this time we receive God's tithes and our offerings, and I understand we come forward to do so. Yes, our offering plate is here to my right, if you will come and offer your tithes and your offerings. And again, the table is prepared and is set before us. I will invite you to turn to page 13 in the front of our hymnals. and to share together, as the Lord has commanded, in remembrance of him and the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and to death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence that we have as children of God, we pray as Christ has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Each of you is invited to come to the table of our Lord. Bobby will assist me as he holds the cup. As you come forward, I will offer to you a portion of the bread. As you receive that, you're also welcome to kneel here at the communion rail for a word of prayer before returning to your seats. Please come to the table. Thank you. is the custom to go outside. Okay. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Tony, the body of Christ, give it to you. Noki, the body of Christ, given for you. The body of Christ, given for you. Teresa, the body of Christ, given for you. The body of Christ, given for you. Jan, the body of Christ, given for you. There's the body of Christ, given for you. The body of Christ, given for you. The body of Christ, given for you, Michelle. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you. That's right. The body of Christ. All of the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Lindsay, the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you. Bobby, blood, body and blood of Christ given for you. On page 11, we find in bold print a prayer with which to conclude the great thanksgiving. It begins with the eternal God, and I invite us to offer this prayer together. Eternal God, we give thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world and the strength of your Spirit, to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be As It Is Before Us. We stand and sing. Time of worship, for welcoming me and my family, and I look forward to being with you again very soon. I offer now these words of blessing. Go now in peace. Send out to the highways and the hedges, for God's house must be filled. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.